And so this afternoon we'll start by doing so from Psalm 23, where we also confess that though we go through the valley of the shadow of death, the Lord is near us. And that would be also our prayer this afternoon, that he would be near us. So let's start, stand and sing Psalm 23. Let's now seek God's grace in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly God and Father, we come before you this afternoon with sadness in our hearts as we look to you as a good shepherd. Father, as we know you as Lord, as Shepherd, as the great Creator, the giver of life, the one who also sets the measure of our lives and brings us home. So, Father, as this afternoon we come to remember your work also in the life of Sister Susanna Kleefman and her family, we ask you for your guidance and your help. May you help us to give thanks for the life that you gave, and the blessings that you gave to her and through her to friends and family and a congregation. And Father, would you also in this hour give us much comfort and hope by your word, by your spirit, by your presence, so that though we have lost a loved one, Father, we would find also your presence there in this time. So Father, as we open up your word, may it be that word of the shepherd that guides us, that is with us, and that may give us that, prepare for us that bounteous, rich table which we look so forward to. We ask you all of this in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ alone. Amen. This afternoon we'll be looking to the New Testament, to the letter of Peter, 1 Peter 1, verses 3 through 5. This letter starts with that note of praise and thanksgiving to the Lord. In verse 3 we read, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who, through faith, are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time." And so that'll be the verses that we'll look at this afternoon to see comfort in God's word during this time. We'll also sing of our confess our faith in Christ by singing "In Christ Alone," all stanzas which beautifully brings together many of the rich blessings that we also find in this passage. So "In Christ Alone." to your family, friends, brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ. Those verses that we just read in 1 Peter are addressed to those whom Peter calls God's elect strangers in the world. Strangers in the world. Other translations may have something like exiles, maybe pilgrims, just to flesh out the picture that we have. As many of you have also just stood at a graveside, that address has some true deep meaning to it. So of course it's true. All Christians are pilgrims. And the fact that this world isn't our home, that we belong with our Lord Jesus Christ. But when we come to a funeral service, we're also reminded of the fact how true this is, and the fact that life is temporary. At least our life here on this earth. It lasts for a while, and then we reach the end. We live as strangers, as pilgrims. Today we may feel that just a little bit more than any other day. And yet, this letter starts with that note of great praise, of great joy even, and of hope. And we may wonder, what reason do pilgrims or strangers have to praise God so boldly and upfront? What comfort is there for those who feel so acutely that life is a pilgrimage? As we go through these verses, I hope you'll see that these verses are condensed to be that pilgrim hope or that pilgrim comfort. Just listen to verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And it's just this amazing statement. For as much as we may be pilgrims, as much as we may be strangers in the world, even though our lives may be temporary, Peter starts with that note that God looks on us with great mercy. Great mercy. It's even if we have to confess that our lives here on this earth are not blameless, that no one lives a perfect life. In fact, every life is marked by sin and shortcomings. Now, that is even, yes, the very reason, the very core as to why our life is temporary here, because the fruit of sin is death. Yet Peter says, God is still moved by great mercy towards us. That center, that heart of the gospel, that God shows mercy to sinners in Jesus Christ. I'll start on that note so that whatever we look at, whatever we unpack, that these gifts that are given to us by God are not earned. It's not because we live such great lives as strangers, not that we are so great in God's sight. It is His wonderful mercy, so that also anyone, no matter what is happening in your life, no matter what you have done in your life, may receive these gifts by faith. That God too will look on you with great mercy through His Son, Jesus Christ. And listen to what He gives us in His mercy. He's given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Because in Christ's resurrection, God has given the promise of new life, new birth into hope. Described as a living, active hope. In the Bible, every time you read of hope, it's never something that is just that wishful thinking. It's always that something that you are so sure of, so certain of, but you just can't see it yet. beyond the hill, let's say, but you know it's there. And it has to be the engine, the motivation, the heart of every pilgrim. It's basically what makes you a pilgrim, isn't it? Something that you're sure of, something that lies ahead. You just can't see it yet. Peter says that is what God gives you through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's there, you know, he has risen from the dead. That's why you head towards him. That's why you don't call this life your home. You may not have seen it yet, but you live in hope. It's what can be said at a graveside. And so much of life seems to indicate that there is no more after death. We hope. Because God has given us that in Jesus Christ. What does this living hope look like? Take an example from our sister Susanna's life. I think many who have been able to talk to her in the last year might have noticed some of this living hope. Maybe not so much directly as that she would have mentioned it to you, but in the way that she struggled also through her deteriorating health. Frequently at visits, the refrain was that growing old isn't easy, and in the last year both Susanna and Ralph have noticed that. It almost seems like there was one thing after another, especially also after Susanna's stint in the hospital. And yet if you talk to about this to Susanna, at least to myself, and I'm sure to many of you, she would have been upbeat. And that couldn't have been easy. Because you know that if our hope is only based on ourselves, at some point, you know, it just kind of runs dry. It almost has to. As you yourself grow weaker, struggle more, so also flickers that hope that you have. But you see, when our hope is in that wonderful, amazing work of Jesus Christ, hope can be that which accompanies us to the very end, to the very end of our pilgrimage. Which is why, as much as many people may say, where there is life, there is hope, which is true. So where there is life, there is potential, there may be change. You can do something. Yet as Christians, we have something so much more. It's not where there is life, there is hope, but where is the life of Christ? That is where there may be hope. So that also where our life drains away, yes, where we even give it up, there may still be hope because there's a new life in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. A new birth with eternal living hope. But what is it that we're actually hoping for? What is it that we're certain of and yet do not yet see? See, if hope is what gets us going, then knowing our destination is what keeps us on track. Think about it in your own life and all the travels that you've done. When you know the destination is worthwhile, we put up with all of the travel and its inconveniences. And I know there's probably many here also over this past Christmas realized that with the storms and travel being pretty bad. That if you knew that it was worthwhile, you put up with it and you try to find a way. And so this is how the Lord describes our destination, our hope for us in this passage. He says, this is what you are heading to. Into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you. Cannot perish, spoil, or fade. He wants to impress upon us the impermanence, the certainty of it. Whereas in life and in all of this creation, we may see so much that will spoil or fade and perish. It's even the greatest inheritance that we may receive in this life, yet all of it, its glamour, its glory, it does fade. But he says, not that inheritance that you receive from your heavenly Father. In our search for permanence, in a search for something that lasts, Scripture says we receive an inheritance, a gift that will never perish, spoil, or fade. And it says that God will keep it himself for us. We don't have to look after it. We don't have to worry that it won't be there when we arrive. Keeps it safe. And that sets us free to live as pilgrims and as strangers. So when the best is going to be given to you, letting go and giving in this life may become easier. Never easy, but easier. Makes room for us to serve and to give. And again, something of this was seen in our sister Susanna Kleefman. The program mentions, for all those who may be not members of our church, Susanna was our bulletin editor and was probably known by many as that because she did it for so many years faithfully, almost without interruption, so much so that when she ended up in the hospital this past summer, we realized we didn't have any backup because she was just so reliable in being able to do so. And I have to admit that the one who benefited most from it was probably myself. She did a wonderful job. In fact, I didn't realize that till, a couple of years ago, I was writing this one name of a kid wrong, apparently, three times or so. And I was so certain it was right, so I never double-checked. Till the fourth time, I double-checked, and I'm like, I got it wrong three times. Checked the bulletin. It was fine the whole time through because Susanna had fixed it. So I asked her about it. She's like, oh, yeah, she just laughs about it and says, no, I fixed that for you. I always read over your stuff, so she probably saved me many spelling mistakes and misspelling of names. Of course, she was able to put her office skills to work within our congregation. But there's also something else that she did by editing the bulletin, and that was living with other people. Well, Susanna couldn't always come to church twice because of health reasons, but she loved to live also along with the brothers and sisters. And so also regularly, as I provided health updates and the to and from in our bulletin, and then maybe for a while didn't post anything or mention anything, I would visit Ralph and Susanna would have to ask, how is that person doing? And I would probably get the hint that it's out of time for an update. How is so-and-so? Yes, even as her own health deteriorated, still, when I would ask for matters for prayer, as I usually do after visits, she would mention herself. Even at the very last visit, it would always be something about her family, great grandkids, or something like that. And how can someone be so selfless? How can someone be so concerned also with other people when you may self be deteriorating, if it's not because you are secure that yourself, you have an inheritance that will not perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you. And when you have that security, then yes, pray for those who are around you. And so also you as family, take that also as your comfort as you mourn the passing of a loved one. May also be comforted that know that Susanna has received that inheritance that cannot spoil, perish, or fade. The kind of security, the kind of permanence that cannot be found here on earth, that no one of us could give her, has been given her by her Heavenly Father, who gives eternal life in his presence. And lastly, there's one more comfort for pilgrims on the way that is mentioned here by Peter. Verse 5. Who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. Being a pilgrim in this world isn't easy. This travel never is. You leave behind home, leave behind security, leave behind comfort and your comfort zone. And every life will in its own way be marked by difficulties, by trials. The path of faith is always described as that narrow road that must be walked. So you may have hope to motivate you. You may have that hope of that destination that is glorious and impermanent ahead of you. Impermanent ahead of you. But what about the road now? And this is God's assurance. Just as he keeps that inheritance safe for you, so he will keep you safe, shielded by his great power. And anytime we come together to also remember the life of someone who has fought the good battle of faith, who's run the race, we may say amen to that. Each one is a testimony to God's promise of shielding and carrying us through this life. And by his power, by his protection and guard, ushering us into his heavenly dwelling. So none of us can do it on our own. It's as much as we hold on to God by faith, he holds on to us. God's promises are sure. And he says, I will keep you safe till the end. You may leave safety behind as a pilgrim, but I alone will be your reward. I alone will be your shield. And I'll do so to the last day. And on that day, as it says, it will all be clear. Our salvation will be revealed. Now we may look like strangers. Now we may mourn because life is temporary. But when that day appears, it will be clear to all of us that God has given us a new life. It's a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That we may truly and then see and confess the resurrection of the dead and a life everlasting. And that what we confess in surety, but not seeing today, will be sight on that day. This is hope, this is comfort for pilgrims. A new life, a permanent, glorious destination, and protection on the road. Praise be to God the Father, to praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's now also then sing our confession that we belong to our Lord Jesus Christ, both body and soul, both in life and in death, singing hymn 64, which is the Lord's Day 1, put to music. Let me lead you in prayer. Heavenly God and Father, all glory belongs to you. And Father, as we look to your word, we thank you. And we marvel at the wonderful comfort that you give us. Father, that just as you call us out of this world to follow you, to be pilgrims and strangers in the world, yet you do not let us do that on our own power. Our Father, we know that we would fail. We'd give up. We'd never make it. So, Father, we thank you for that new life that you grant us into a living hope. And, Father, may that hope be alive in each one of us as we look to your Son, Jesus Christ, that we may be sure and certain of those things that we do not yet see, and so live in hope, knowing that you have prepared for us a permanent place. Yes, that your Son has assured us that in his Father's house there are many rooms, and he'll prepare a place for us. And Father, we thank you for that amazing comfort, that you will guard us, that you will shield us on the way. And so, Father, as we hold on to you in faith, so hold on to us. Guide us, shield us, motivate us, and encourage us. And Father, this afternoon we pray that may be especially true for those who have lost a loved one. We think of Ralph. We think of those who have lost a mom. Those who have lost a grandmother. Father, be with them. We thank you that there is amazing comfort within your word. And yet, also after this, life will return to its regular routine, but without Susanna. So be near to them all. But also, as they process this change, this loss, that you would be near to them. Especially with Ralph, as he now goes on alone. Surround him with care, and family and friends, but above all in your word and spirit. Father, we also bring before you the context, the timing of your taking Susanna to yourself, which was rather sudden and comes with its own challenges. Family not being able to prepare, not saying goodbyes. Father, maybe wishing for some more time or another opportunity. Would you be near to them and all of those thoughts as well? Comfort them in your timing, in your guidance, in your great providence. And Father, that they may know and rejoice, even though they grieve, that their loved one has entered into your house. Father, also bless, we thank you that you have blessed so many to be able to come out here, given them safe travels, and also be with them as they head back. Think also of others who might have wished to be here, to be together, to comfort family or friends. Father, may you be with them as well, as they are perhaps watching even this afternoon from a distance. Keep them in your care. May they too find comfort, even if they may not be able to be here and hug and see their family and friends. And Father, be with us all. Father, our eyes rise up to the hills and we ask, where will our help come from? It will come from you. That is our hope. May it also be the case as we go from here, that truly we may say, your faithfulness is great, and that each life of your saints may be a witness to that. We pray all of this in Christ's name alone. Amen. Let's now rise and sing our closing hymn, which will be Great is Thy Faithfulness, and we'll sing the refrain after all three stanzas. And now the family will lead us out of the auditorium, and there will be opportunity for condolences and some refreshments in the foyer.